This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Alliance Bank presents you The Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for joining us today. I am Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9. This is The Breakfast Grill. Today, we are with Jeremy Yee, CEO of Court Life Group, that is based in Singapore. Jeremy, could you tell us a little bit about your company?
Yeah, hi. Court Life Group Limited essentially aims to be a mother and child company that caters services and products potentially to all moms and child. We started off providing parents with an option to store their child's cord blood stem cells, and we have steadily moved up by providing parents an opportunity to also store the child's umbilical cord lining stem cells, which contains both mesenchymal and epithelial stem cells. We also have also gone up the chain by providing parents with an opportunity to screen their baby's urine using a urine metabolomics as well. So what we aim to do is to have a long-term vision to build the company in such a way that we can provide these value-adding services to newborn babies as well as to the mom.
Is your services being offered only to Singapore, or can we get a piece of your service here in Malaysia?
We hope to basically roll out all our services to countries that we have a presence in, and we want to do a very good job in the launch of those services. So reputation is important to us. We have therefore consciously and vividly chosen to roll out those services one at a time.
Right. When we talk about stem cells, there's a lot of things with regards to the variant degrees. We have the totipotent stem cell, which is cells that can basically change into all types of cells from fertilized eggs, basically. But there's also two more stem cell grades, which is pluripotent stem cells and multipotent stem cells.
Yeah.
Is there a degree of a collection from your end? Which kind of potent stem cells are you collecting?
Okay, essentially what we are doing here, there are many definitions of how cells can essentially transdifferentiate into, you know, other type of cells within the human body. How we classify it, essentially embryonic versus non-embryonic. The definitions of totipotent, pluripotent stem cells are cells that has theoretical meaning behind how it actually transdifferentiate itself. So for us, we classify them under adult stem cells and embryonic. So we don't do anything that's embryonic, meaning to say we don't deal with any that's based on fetus, right? We do everything that's based on an adult. And the only two kinds of adult stem cells that we extract currently today is just the umbilical cord blood stem cells and the umbilical cord lining stem cells and cord tissue stem cells.
Now, a lot can be said about getting cells that are non-invasive, which are basically what your company does. Isn't it better to get earlier, younger stem cell stage, perhaps at the pluripotent stage?
The current amount of embryonic stem cells today, there's still a lot of trials that's going on with the embryonic stem cells. So what you have established essentially is just a theoretical fact, right? In theory, it works that way. But in reality, we're talking about, you know, using these cells for transplantation, for medical use. So that application-wise, as far as the medical effects is concerned, is still pretty far away from therapies and everything.
You were mentioning that these stem cell industry is still at a very theoretical stage. And in fact, a lot of scientists are still learning how to control stem cell conversion. How is it beneficial for your company to actually get parents, for instance, to sign up when there is no test case scenario that we can refer to in the market?
That's wrong. That's a wrong fact. That's absolutely wrong fact. You know, the treatment of umbilical cord blood stem cells dates all the way back to 1988. So that's what I'm trying to say, is that I think general community out there cannot differentiate between the users coming out from the use of embryonic stem cells, which has, to me, currently today, still a very far away distance from any medical usage, versus usage of adult stem cells. You know, the most primitive adult stem cells that was being used was done in 1968 when bone marrow stem cells were essentially used for the treatment of blood disorders. Now, back to fast forward 20 years to 1988, the first usage of umbilical cord blood stem cells was being used by Professor Pavel Rubinstein. And since then, more than 80 over diseases has been treated using, you know, umbilical cord blood stem cells. Right. So I think that is essentially a huge disparity in terms of what is known out there versus how we actually educate general public as to what these stem cells can do for the human body. We, however, collaborate with institutions out there who might want to do a trial in certain disease or certain inherited genetic illnesses that could be treatable using stem cells. So one of which could be, you know, our collaboration with the Sutter Neuroscience Institute, where they have published their results sometime in September on their FDA trial phase one on the treatment of autism. We are essentially one of those centers that assist in prospecting also our clients who may also be autistic. And if the parents are willing to sign up for the program, their cells can be used for transplant under the particular FDA trial.
If you have just joined us, I'm Ibrahim Sani and this is The Breakfast Grill. Today we are with Jeremy Yi, CEO of Cord Life. Jeremy, when we talk about the beneficiary of a stored stem cell, who would be the best recipient to use this later on in their lives?
The company operates based on autologous cord blood storage, meaning to say the child themselves, whom after they are born, the parents sign up on behalf of the child, cord blood stem cells or the cord tissue stem cells belongs to the child of their own cells in our bank. And fast forward 40, 50 years later on, if they require a transplant, they could essentially come back to that depository, withdraw their stem cells for their own transplant.
Now, the problem is that sometimes diseases are hard-coded into the genetic code of that particular patient. So, for instance, a patient that suffers from childhood leukemia, that person already has in their genetic makeup the deficiency in that disease. So, you know, it doesn't make sense, for instance, a bone marrow transplant to be given to the same person that suffers from leukemia. You would have to require it from, say, a sibling to fix that particular genetic deficiency.
It's only a presumption. Yeah, it's only a presumption that we all assume that a person suffers from childhood leukemia and therefore his stem cells will also have the leukemic properties of genetics. There's no proven evidence yet. Right? I've got articles that essentially tells me that a three-year-old baby or three-year-old child has used his or own stem cells for treatment of leukemia. I mean, I've got physical publication that talks about a child using his or her own stem cells for transplantation at the age of 3. So if anyone has a presumption that you have genetic codes of your own cells and at the age of 3 or 4 you get leukemia and then you cannot use your own umbilical cord blood stem cells for transplantation, I cannot attest to that because there has been trials that has been conducted using their own stem cells for treatment.
When we talk about the collection, the number of blood that you actually collect, is it in the range of, say, 20 to 30 cc's? Is this enough for you to run tests, for instance, in order to find some sort of a genetic makeup or match?
We don't do any tests like that. We are not a DNA company.
Yeah, but so, the question is, the number of blood that you collect is in such a small quantity, is this enough to actually treat an adult person?
And we do not talk about cc, we talk about the total number of million cells per nucleated kilograms. So the typical gauge is that it's about 20 million nucleated cells per kilogram for transplantation. The range can go up, the range can come down. So typically speaking, right, we collect close to about, it all depends on the propensity of the cells that's been collected. The average amount of cells that we collect is close to about more than 800 million cells per child. And the fact of the matter is that these cells, usually when a patient goes through a chemotherapy, he would have lost a lot of weight after post-chemotherapy. So therefore, when it comes to cord blood transplantation, there may be sufficient in there. The second of all is that we are not dismissing the fact that patients who may be overweight post-chemotherapy may actually encourage themselves to look for a dual cord transplant. So a dual cord transplant works in a way whereby, you know, a person may need about, let's say, 1.2 billion cells, let's say, for transplantation. And in his own depository, he could have like about 800 to 900 million cells. So he's probably lacked about 300 million cells. But the fact here of the matter is that he would have actually have more than 50% chance of a successful transplant because he would have found his own cells. Now, what he could do is that he could go out there to a public bank and look for a cord and propagate a dual cord transplant. And that's the basis of why Cord Life has cord blood network out there. So our Cord Blood Network, one of the firms that essentially also operates as a public bank is China Cord Blood Corporation, in which they themselves are also an AABB accredited laboratory in China. And now which is basically to tie up a whole bunch of different public banks whereby our clients themselves can access their own HLA type and therefore be in a position to do a dual cord transplant later on.
Now, when we mentioned about HLA typing, basically for our listeners, HLA typing is a fingerprinting of the cells and to see where is it suitable. But with bone marrows, you need only HLA typing. You don't actually need a blood type match. How is it like in the world of cord blood transplant? Do you need a blood typing match as well?
It's autologous. Autologous essentially is you're using your own cells for yourselves or for your family members. The second fact, of course, is that cord blood has got higher plasticity for HLA typing. Right, human lymphocyte antigen testing, HLA. Essentially, if you're using bone marrow, it is definitely less plasticity properties than cord blood stem cells.
Right, thank you. That was Jeremy Yi, CEO of CordLife Group. When we come back, we'll talk about some privacy issues. This is Ibrahim Sani, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is The Breakfast Grill. I am Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9. We are with Jeremy Yi, CEO of Cord Life today. Jeremy, when we talk about public banks versus your kind of bank, wouldn't public bank be a little bit more beneficiary because it's donated to a cord blood bank where anyone can use it as opposed to your model?
Well, what we essentially want is to provide parents with an informed choice whether they want to donate to the public bank or they want to store it for themselves. It is essentially a choice and personal empowerment. It's just like when you go out there and you go shopping, you have a choice to take a public transport or you can essentially go out there and try to get a taxi, right? So it's a choice that they want to make for themselves. The fact of the matter is that there are, of course, risks in donations whereby the chance of, you can actually just assess for yourself what is the chance of a person looking for a match in a public bank vis-a-vis if a person falls sick and he has his own cord blood stored in their own tanks, and the chance of finding his own match is 100% versus the chance of going out to a public bank. So it's a matter of personal choice whether they want it or not.
When we talk about the potential of stem cell, can today science correctly identify these potential stem cells and transform them into the converted cells that we need and want in the medical world?
Well, that is stem cell therapy. Stem cell therapy's definition is wide. What we are doing right now are essentially mainstream medicine regenerative therapy. With cord blood stem cells, which are hematopoietic based, right, they have definitely been proven the last 40 years, since 1988, to be able to transdifferentiate themselves into immunity cells to deal with blood disorders. Right? And the areas of cord lining and all that have shown quite a fair bit of propensity to transdifferentiate themselves into different components such as skin cells, epithelial stem cells, and of course cartilage and all that. Now, there are certain trials that have been done even using autologous mesenchymal stem cells for the treatment of arthritis, right? Sportsmen with, sports injuries pertaining to the knees and all that. So these are already been done. As time goes on, more and more trials that has been put using these cells for regenerative therapies are being put into place. The problem with this is that most of us want evidence-based medicine. There's already a lot of evidence coming up from the treatment of using hematopoietic stem cells and other forms of cells for regenerative therapies. The question right now is that, is the frontier continuously going to be increased based on the trials that's being done in various hospitals and worldwide clinicians? And the answer is yes. There's been more than right now 600 over FDA-registered trials in the area of mesenchymal stem cells and epithelial stem cells, and also at the same time hematopoietic stem cells for the treatment of cerebral palsy as well as for treatment of autism.
Right. It's interesting that you mentioned that it's for epithelial and some chemotherapy. But the idea here is that neurons in brains just cannot simply regenerate as it is. Is that for stem cells to be coaxed into building neuronic cells, is this in the near future? Can we see this happening? Because it does treat a lot of neuronic injuries and diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, stroke, Huntington's disease. Can we see that in the near future?
Those are cells that those are essentially diseases and illnesses that currently scientists as well as clinicians are working on, right? And I'm not in a position to comment on those trials right now. of definitely right now, what we have done from Cord Lab perspective is the treatment of cerebral palsy for young children born with brain damage. And the results have been astonishingly good. Right, and right now we are participating together with the Neuroscience Institute for the treatment of autism as well. For the treatment of Parkinson's and the rest of the Alzheimer's and all that, there are essentially many guys who are working on it right now. And I'm not in a position to comment on those trials at this point in time.
If you have just joined us, I am Ibrahim Sani and this is The Breakfast Grill. Today, we are with Jeremy Yee, CEO of Cord Life, a company that is based in Singapore with a regional reach. Jeremy, let's talk about your subsidiaries globally and perhaps around the region. Jeremy, can you comment on your regional businesses, particularly the ones in Malaysia?
In Malaysia, we only own about 32% of Stem Life Berhad. It is an associate company to us, and you know that's about it. We don't have a footprint in actual operations in Malaysia. They have their own management team in running the day-to-day operations of the company. We, of course, do share resources in terms of manage to find a proprietary method that can assist them in enhancing additional services for the Malaysian public. We would definitely be pulling them in on that one. So one of the collaborations that we have done so far is the introduction of cord-lining stem cells as an additional service for the Malaysian public. So I think that was introduced about 1.5 years ago, and they are slowly educating the public about the potential usage of cord-lining stem cells for future treatment for these young kids, when they grow older into adult, where they may need their own cells for regenerative therapies.
Going across the pond into China, you own 100% of shares in the Shanghai Cord Life Biomedical Research Company Limited. Is there any reason for you to hive off research centres to China as opposed to doing in-house in Singapore?
No. Currently, right now, that company, don't misunderstand, that company essentially is a wholly owned foreign entity. And it was essentially incorporated back in 2005 when we were a young company. So that company has remained dormant ever since that time, because the rules and regulations pertaining to the stem cell scene in China is still not very well developed at that point in time. The only reason for us to actually incorporate a company, and the only means for us to incorporate a company, was essentially through a research collaboration potentially with any hospitals who might want to run trials on that. So currently right now, that WuFi has been left dormant for a long time. It was never an operating vehicle.
Right. With the Singapore population being a constricted market, it's very hard for you to grow domestically. What is your outlook on expanding your business regionally?
We already are in India, we are in Indonesia, we are in the Philippines, we are in Hong Kong, we are in Singapore. We have an associate in Malaysia called Stem Life Berhad, and they themselves are also own an associate in Thailand called Thai Stem Life. Right. I think as far as we are a pan-Asian company is concerned, we have footprints in many of these companies. On top of that, we own a 10% stake in China Cord Blood Banking Corporation, which essentially is the largest cord blood banking operator right now in the whole of China, owning 3 licenses out of the 7 approved licenses in China. And they themselves have a 24% stake in another company called Shandong Cord Blood Bank. So I think in terms of footprints across China, across the whole pan-Asian space, we are pretty much there. The question right now is that are we in a position to actually do what we have done in Singapore, whereby we go out there and educate parents and allowing them to have a real informed choice as to whether they want to have the choice to store their child's cord blood stem cells versus donating it. My proposition is that they should do something about it, regardless of whether they store it for themselves or donating it. Something must be done. Shouldn't just allow these cord blood stem cells to be discarded away.
Being in the business and being in the industry, you would understand the proposition of storing your stem cell blood. Do you take a position that you would need to educate the market, perhaps be a leader, a thought leader in this type of industry?
Yes. We have done a lot of activities so far in trying to educate the general public in regards to the benefits of storing your own cells. Of course, there are a lot of skeptics out there in regards to how cells can work or cannot work and all that. But my point here is that parents need to make an informed choice as to what position they need to take. in regards to their own selves. Ultimately, right, they should understand the fact that the child is only born once, and this is about the only chance they could store their own child's stem cells. If they give it up, then they give it up forever, right? You know, it's a choice. But parents, most of the time, come to me and say, you know what, I do not know or I didn't know that this particular service actually existed. So the right thing for us to do is essentially just to educate them and let them decide for themselves whether they want to store it for themselves or they want to donate it.
Do you go on speaking circuits or perhaps advertise ahead of time such talks or such a consultation that you do in public so for our listeners, they can actually sign up and actually attend some of the events?
I think what we do is that we don't advertise our service. We just basically say that, you know what, through an education forum, there must be ways of communicating to the public when your education talk is going to be. So that's exactly what we do. So what we'll do is that we'll partner up with various hospitals, you know, who might want to talk about the delivery process, especially first-time moms who might be a little bit anxious about, you know, going to the delivery room, how they're going to feel about it, and do they take the epidural or do they not take the epidural. So in a similar talk like that, we will also take the opportunity to educate the parents, to tell them about these things, these are the medical facts. It's up to them entirely at the point in time to make a decision. Or they could even kick the can down the road and decide only at a point in time when they are about to go into the delivery suite, right? So what we do is that this is what we do. We only aim to educate. In Singapore, there is the Private Hospitals and Medical Clinics Act, which essentially also disallow companies to advertise their services or talk about their services in any sense of the word. But we are allowed to basically educate, just like any other companies. We are allowed to basically, you know, bring, you know, some form of clarity on the area of stem cells.
Right, thank you. That was Jeremy Yee, CEO of Court Life Group. This is Ibrahim Sani, and you were on The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by Alliance Bank. Banking made personal. A total banking relationship that rewards you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.